The scripture reading today will be from 1 Corinthians 5:3-9. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building.
コリント人への第一の手紙3章5節から9節アポロとは何でしょう、パウロとは何でしょう。あなた方が信仰に入るために用いられたしもべであって、主がおのおのに授けられた通りのことをしたのです。私が植えて、アポロが水を注ぎました。しかし成長させたのは神です。それで大切なのは、植えるものでも水を注ぐものでもありません。成長させてくださる神なのです。植えるものと水を注ぐものは一つですが、それぞれ自分自身の働きに従って自分自身の報酬を受けるのです。私たちは神の協力者であり、あなた方は神の畑、神の建物です。
Good morning again. You guys doing all right? Good, good. We've been going through a series called Signs of a Healthy Church, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the role of the leaders. We're going to talk about me today. No, just kidding. It's all about me today. You know, we live in a world, a day and age, where we have almost an inexhaustible amount of information just at the tip of our fingertips. And because of this, there is an illusion of power and empowerment because of just all the information that we can get. And if we're not careful, we can easily fall prey to pride, the pride that thinks we know just as much or more than the professional. More than the doctor, more than the vet, more than the teacher, the mechanic, the plumber, and even the pastor. Because you know, we did a simple Google search and we read up on it, and now we're the professional. And I'm not saying all professionals are going to be right all the time, or the Google search information is always going to be wrong. It's just all the other variables, our limitations, our own minds, our own experiences, and just the limitations, you know, the information you find online. They're not always going to be reliable. Just because the online says something doesn't mean it's going to be right. You guys know that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to burst your bubbles. But you know, all of these things should cause us to slow down. We can't be experts at everything. Granted, there are things you can look and search online and get the answers to easily. You know, I go online all the time. I'm one of those people that likes to look things up, and I like to look up recipes. My car was acting up, so I looked it up, and I tried to fix it myself. It's still running, so maybe I did a good job. I'm not sure. I did take it to a professional, and they said this is what was wrong, and then I just looked up, okay, how do you fix that, you know? If it was a transmission, I probably wouldn't have looked, how do you fix that? But so there are things that we could easily look up and probably do ourselves, but then there are things like maybe brain surgery or open heart surgery that we should probably not say, oh, let's look it up online and let's try it ourselves. And I think that's especially true when it comes to the church. When it comes to building up and growing the church, the only expert in this subject is me. No, just kidding. Just checking to see if you're listening. No, the only expert is God. It's His church. He's the expert. And if God is not the one growing the church, then it's probably not the type of growth we want. A healthy church is one that understands what God wants and what our role is, what your role is, what my role is, what the leader's role is. That's all important to know if we're going to align with what God is doing to His church. Let me pray. Father, we do ask that we could align ourselves to what You're doing. Jesus, You are the head. You are the leader. And we ask, Lord, that You would open up our ears, open up our eyes, soften our hearts, that we can see, hear, and understand what You are doing in our lives, in this day and age, in our church, here in JCCT. We thank You, Lord, for the grace that we could have access to Your Spirit, to know the deep things of God. And I pray, Lord, that today, as we come here to worship, that You would empower that in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's passage starts off with, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Here are two questions that Paul is going to begin to answer from this point on all the way till the end of chapter 4 of this epistle, of this letter. And so everything you see in between now in end of chapter 4, it's actually addressing this question. What is Paul? What is Apollos? In context, this is about leadership. To be specific, it's about apostolic leadership. Now, he goes on to say, servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Again, everything that's going to be said from here on till the end of chapter 4 has to specifically do with the role of leadership. And I emphasize that, I say that, because in between these two, in the context of all of this, there are some sayings, some hard sayings that people will take out of context and use for their own benefits. For example, in chapter 4, Paul makes the point that you are not to judge anything. In chapter 4, verse 5, he says, therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purpose of the heart. This statement, do not pronounce judgment before that time. Or do not pronounce, and I think some of your translations may say, do not judge anything before that time. And then people will say, see, look at this, you're not supposed to judge anything. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is talking about his apostolic ministry, what he's been doing, and he's saying, before you judge my ministry, and before you judge what any of these leaders do, he's saying, don't do that. Don't pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purpose of the heart. It's in the context of his leadership, and I believe it's in that context he's saying, you know what, there's going to be false leaders, there's going to be real leaders, and it's hard to discern the two. We'll talk about how to discern the two later on, but in terms of what I'm doing with the ministry the Lord gave me, the reason why I'm not with you Corinthians all the time, the reason why I'm in Rome, I'm in Ephesus, I'm in jail, and I'm not baptizing people, and I'm not doing what Apollos is doing, the way I'm preaching all of this. Don't judge that. You don't know what you're doing when you're judging that. And so I say all that because I think people will say, hey, you know, I could live my life any way I want. I could live a sinful life and don't judge my lifestyle. You hear, I don't know. For me, Tupac comes to mind. Because I think he had a rap song that talks about not judging me and stuff like that. Anyways, I don't think I connected with anyone when I mentioned Tupac right now. I'm sorry. Tupac is a rapper. No, just kidding. I'm not going to explain anything. Don't judge me, they suggested. You know, we just read. But that's sort of the context. That's the context Paul is writing in. It's important to take things in context and what he's trying to make the point when he says these statements and not take it out of context to mean what it doesn't mean. Today's passage will get a glimpse of why we don't want to judge the process of what God is doing before the appointed time. We're going to take a look at that. So back to our passage today. Paul is addressing this question. What is Apollos? For those of you who may not be familiar, Apollos was not one of the original 12 apostles. He became apostle later on. For those of you who are savvy with and read your Bible, you may recognize Apollos as one of the bold leaders that started his ministry without knowing exactly what the Holy Spirit was. And he just, I think it's one of those things where he became saved, started preaching the gospel, and they asked him, you know there's a Holy Spirit, right? And Apollos said, no, I never even heard of that. And a couple of leaders took him aside and taught him. And as we see here in Corinthians, he has grown up to be a great apostle. Anyways, this question he's addressing is necessary because these great leaders, Apollos, Paul, and he mentioned Peter earlier, were causing division, distraction, and it was one of the reasons why the church remained in an infantile state. Division. Distraction. They were saying, I'm with Paul, I'm with Apollos, I'm with Peter, I'm with Jesus. There was all of these fractions within the church that was preventing them from coming together in unity and coming together in maturity. In today's passage, he's actually specifically addressing the role of an apostle. An apostle was someone that was specifically sent by Jesus. It is and was, depending on where you stand, the highest rank of leadership within the church. I'll talk more about the ministry and the office of an apostle later on in Corinthians. But all that to say today, I'm not saying I'm an apostle, but leadership, I believe we could take some of these principles as talking about apostleship and just apply it to leadership in general. And in today's church, I do believe there are unhealthy attachment to leaders, just like there was in Corinthians. And comparing your favorite leaders to another leader's is an unhealthy thing to do. And I think we do that all the time. You know, this pastor said this, this pastor said that, this pastor is doing it this way, and et cetera, et cetera. An unhealthy attachment and even an unhealthy focus on what the leader is doing will take the focus off of what God is doing. The emphasis should be on what is God doing and not on the leader? The Corinthian church mixed the two up, and I believe it's so easy for us to mix the two up as well. And we live in a day and age where there are great leaders. I love listening to great speakers and great leaders personally. But we sometimes treat these people like celebrities. Not sometimes, we do treat them like celebrities. And maybe even more, we treat them maybe even more than just celebrities. And when we do these things, it causes division within the church. Paul is saying, and he's going to go on and say, you know what? You don't have to do that. In fact, you doing that brings division. It will keep you immature if you do that. We're all on the same team. Later on in verse 21, Paul says, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, present, or future, all are yours, and you are in Christ, and Christ is in God. Again, this is in the context of leadership. All are yours. The teaching of Paul, that's yours. The teaching of Peter, that's yours. The teaching of Cephas, that's yours. You don't have to pick and choose a side to belong to. They all belong on the same team. Again, I say that... you know, there might be more involved in that scripture, but in context, I believe Paul is saying, when he says all is yours, all of these teachers and teachings, they belong to you. You don't have to pick and choose a side. You don't have to pick and choose a side, and I believe he's also saying it's important to know the significance these different teachers bring. What is Paul? What is Apollos? They're servants through whom you believe, and as the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. They had different roles. Paul planted, Apollos waters. But before we get into the different roles, notice what Paul says. What are apostles? What are leaders? How do we become great in the kingdom of God? We become servants. They're not celebrities. Our goal shouldn't be to become a celebrity Christian. I think you know, as a young leader, I'm not saying I'm a young leader now. When I was a young leader, I think that was sort of the goal, is to become like a famous pastor, a great famous speaker. Paul is saying our goal should not be that. It should be to be servants. We are great in the kingdom of God when we become servants and not celebrities. In fact, if we become a celebrity, and if we're not careful, we will receive our reward here on earth instead of there in heaven. The goal is to become a servant. That's who they are. They are servants. And one does one job, and another does another job, and they're all important. Planting and watering are important aspects to growing. Imagine if Paul planted, and Apollos is like, you know what, I want to be like Paul, and I'm going to plant. And nobody watered. Or Apollos is watering, and Paul's like, you know what, watering seems so awesome. Let me water too. And all you did was water. What are you going to get? Nothing or much. They are both so important. And it's not just leaders that are important. You get that, right? Not just the leaders. All of us carry something that is essential to the body of Christ. All of us. Now, imagine if you came to church today and I didn't show up. It'll be obvious that I'm not here. And it, you know, people will be upset. People will be maybe worried, concerned. Because I'm supposed to be here. I'm paid to be here, actually. This is my job. This is my profession. And I guess I do play an important role in the church of what we're doing today. But guess what? If you really believe that you are all important, you being here is very important. It carries value. It may not be as distinct as what I bring when I come. It may not be as noticeable. But just because it's not noticeable if you're missing or if you're here, doesn't mean it's not important. You are very important. All of you. I'm so glad you are here. Just like, you know, there's parts of our bodies that we don't notice, we don't see. If it doesn't show up, it may actually kill us. You know, I'm sort of, if we're doing a body analogy, I'm sorry, there's all these analogies here. There's buildings, there's fields. Let me do a body analogy. If I were the mouth, and the mouth stopped working, that's noticeable, right? Give me this. But what if the artery stopped working? I don't know if that. Or the kidney stopped working. The liver stopped working. If these things stopped working, outwardly, I don't know if you'll notice right away, but inwardly, you know you're in trouble. All of you. We all play an essential role and aspect in the health of the church, and it's my conviction that the Lord wants you a part of a church, whether it's here in JCCT or in another church, wherever the Lord is calling you, it's so important to show up. Just as important as it is for the worship leaders to show up, the pastor to show up, or anyone else, it's important that we are present. And you know, there are some times when we can't physically be present, it's so important that we are present spiritually as well. Anyways, going back to the passage, or going back to all is yours, you know, it's important. We're all important. Paul watered, Apollos, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. These are all important. We're all on the same team. Everyone plays a different role. But I do want to caution us what to look out for when there are people that are going to pretend like they're on the same team when they're not. And I'm talking about false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. Those things are necessary. And of course, I mentioned earlier, you know, don't judge before the right time, I guess. Don't judge before it's necessary. There are things we can judge. We can't judge a person's ministry and ministry style, but we can judge certain things such as character and doctrine. Those things we can hold up the character of the Spirit and the doctrine that's found in Scripture. And if those things don't line up, we need to be careful about those things. For example, when you're looking when it comes to character, there's a certain thing Jesus says. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. And he's talking about false teachers, false prophets, but anyone in the Lord, you'll know them by their fruits. And what he means by that isn't you'll know them by how effective they are. That's not what Jesus is saying when he says fruit. He's saying you know them by their character. You'll know them by the fruit of the Spirit. A tree can only bear fruit that it's the tree is. You know, an apple tree won't bear watermelons, you know, or garlic, or chicken. No, just kidding. But the fruit of the Spirit, what's the fruit of the Spirit? What are you looking for in terms of character? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those things has to be consistent in a leader's life, in a Christian's life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, righteousness, and self-control. Those are important characteristics. And, you know, a lot of times, since we do live in a day and age where there are a lot of celebrity leaders, we can't actually know that about a person. Because we're seeing them on TV, we're listening to them on the radio, character doesn't usually come across. If you can't fake it for a couple of hours, you're not good. You're not going to fake anyone, you know? You're not going to trick anyone. A lot of times, character comes out when you're squeezed. How do you know if a lemon is a lemon? Cut it open. Squeeze it. Lemon juice should come out of a lemon. So if you're cut and you're squeezed, and the same consistency comes out, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, then you know the integrity of that person, what they're made of. Character is important. Second thing is important is doctrine, just as important. There was a group of people in the Bible called the Bereans. And what the Bereans did when Paul came to preach was they went back and they checked the scriptures, what they had, and to see if what Paul was saying was lining up to what the scripture was saying. And that's important to do as well. As you begin to listen to, even to my own teachings, look at what the scripture is saying and look at what the teacher is saying. And if they don't line up, then you don't have to receive that. Now, the thing is, a genuine teacher will, at times, say false things. And that's just part of being human. No one's perfect. So I'm going to say stuff that I'm not even going to agree with, you know, myself. And then there's going to be things sometimes when I'll probably change my stance on certain topics. Just because there's a false teaching doesn't make them a false teacher. But we do need to be careful what we listen to. And I say all of that to say this. If Paul is watering, or if Paul is planting and Apollos is watering, and they're both necessary, guess what? When it comes to growing and maturing in Christ, you're going to need teaching that are more than coming out of my mouth. If all the teaching you're getting is once a week from me, it is an unbalanced diet. Your teaching needs to come from more than just your pastor on a Sunday. I encourage you to listen to teachings outside of my own. In fact, I encourage you to listen to teaching outside of your own, say, denominational bent. If you're Reformed, I encourage you to start listening to some more that are not Reformed. Some more that are charismatic, if you will. If you're charismatic, I encourage you to read some more that are, or listen to teaching that are more Reformed. These things are important. If all are important, then it's important to not say, hey, I'm Reformed, I'm going to stay away from these charismatics. Oh, I'm charismatic, I'm going to stay away from these Reformed people. This is what was happening in the Corinthian church. Oh, I'm with Paul. I don't need your Apollos teaching. No, I'm with Apollos. I don't need your Peter teaching. No, I'm with Christ. I don't need any of your teaching. All I need is the Bible and Christ. And Paul is saying, stop that. That's completely wrong. You need Bible and Christ. You need that. You need Paul's teaching, you need Peter's teaching, you need Apollos' teaching, and you need to learn how to synthesize all of that and to appreciate what the Lord is teaching through all of these great teachers. And so if you're just listening to what I'm saying, it becomes unbalanced. It's unhealthy. If all you can do is recite what I know, it's very limited to what you have access to. I remember when I, early on, you know, when I was a Christian, all I would do is listen to like Christian radio. And then they'd have some teaching that come up on Christian radio. I listened to all these teachers, people like Greg Laurie, Raul Ries. I listened to like Focus on the Family. I was listening to all these people. There was one guy I really hated, and I would change the channel or something when he came on. I hated this man. Is hate a strong word? Am I just outing myself? I need more love. I'm not displaying the love of the Spirit. Anyways, I did not like his teaching. I didn't like his teaching style. I didn't like what he was saying. He was mean-spirited. You've ever hear teachers that are mean-spirited? I didn't like mean-spirited teachers. Anyways, I felt the Lord saying, listen to that guy. I'm like, ah. But I turned it on, I listened to it, and I'm like, man, like, I hate how mean he was. But I think the Lord was just doing that to help me be more balanced. And learning to appreciate other aspect of the body of Christ. Because they're all important, essential. Essential to the health of the believer, essential to the health of the church. Going back to what Paul is saying, a leader can only do so much and should only strive to do so much. I believe it becomes a combination of pride of the leader wanting to do more and be more than just anything. When scripture says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. Sometimes it's the pride of the leader, the pride of the believer that wants to be more than just anything. But it's also the unsanctified expectations placed on other people. We need to be careful. We're all people that don't like to let people down, right? Most of us, we for some reason, we live our lives not to let people down. And if we live our lives that way, it's not a good way to live our lives. Let me just put it that way. It's not a healthy way to live our lives. Oh, I don't want to let the pastor down, or as a pastor, or I don't want to let so-and-so down. The person we should be most concerned is, we don't want to let God down. Because, let me just say this. The worst kinds of people, they will pick that up about you. That you're the type of person that don't like to let people down. That you have not learned the art of not giving a fudge, you know? And they'll exploit that from you. They'll exploit that. And they'll let you know that you let them down. Their expectation, they'll probably even say that, you let me down, kind of thing. And even though that person may not mean much to us, that affects us because we're just people that don't like to let people down. We need to change our focus and become people that don't want to let God down more than anyone else. And if we don't learn that, we will try to do and be so much more than what God wants us to be, and we'll miss what we were created to be, who God created us to be. We should not go beyond what the Lord has given us the grace to do. And we should be able to embrace that about ourselves, no matter who we disappoint. Because the only person we should not want to disappoint is God. That's the most important person we don't want to let down. Moving on in the passage, it says, He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. If we let our lives be controlled by what other people want, or if we live our lives in trying to do so much more than what we're given grace to do, it's possible that we will either do our assignments poorly or miss it altogether. Again, if a leader wants to plant because that's the most popular thing happening in the church these days, and that's the book, and that's all the latest crave, when they're supposed to be watering, they've missed their assignment. And vice versa. Again, every part and every role is important to God. But sometimes the world puts value on things that are not important to God. And we can, as a leader, I can miss that. As someone, a follower of Christ, you can miss that as well. And so it's important to know what is value. What is important? The most important thing you can do is what God assigned you to do. What did He ask you to do? What is He giving you a passion to do? If He's given it to you, don't impose that on anyone else. I think if He's given you that passion, go ahead and take the initiative and take the steps and don't make excuses on why it didn't happen. Because He's given you the grace to do it. Now again, we got to be careful. Is this from the Lord or is this an expectation from someone else? But here's the thing. If we miss our assignment and if we build poorly, there are consequences. There are consequences both for me as a leader. There are consequences as you, as the church, the building, the field. In verse 12 and 15 of this chapter, it says, If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping the flames. Now again, this is specifically geared towards the leader in how he builds the church. But I do believe that each and every one of us, as we live our lives, will be held to a certain standard. And some of the things we do in our lives will burn up. Will mean absolutely nothing. And some of the things in our lives will remain, will have infinite value. They were built with eternity in mind. Here Paul is warning people, as you live your life, realize there's going to be a day that comes that is going to test your life in the eternal fires. And some of you, after the fire comes, will be left with nothing. Now, he's not saying you're going to go to hell. He's actually saying you're actually going to make it, but you're going to be left with nothing. This has nothing to do with heaven or hell. This has everything to do with wages and rewards. And he's saying, but those of us who has built their life with eternity in mind, there will be a reward. There will be wages given to you. There will be a recompense. Most of us, we think we're just in or we're out. Paul isn't concerned here with being in or out. You're all in if you're in Christ. But once you're in, there are rewards, there are wages, And that is a difference between the free gift of God. Reward and gifts, they are different things. Wages and gifts, they are different things. And Paul is urging the believers, urging the leaders to build with eternity in mind, to live our lives with eternity in mind. Because if we do, then when the day comes, you'll be so glad you did. Because God will reward those who build well. Paul is, you know, if you haven't noticed, mixing some metaphors. He's saying you're a field, you're a building. And the last thing I want to leave with is later on he'll say in verse 17 that you are not just any old building. That the building you are is the temple of God. Now, temple is a term when the Jewish people used had a specific meaning. There was only one temple. There was many synagogues, but there was only one place that was designated as the house of the Lord, and that was the temple. And it's saying, you as a building, we are the temple of God. And there is a stern warning. Because we are the temple of God, because we are the temple of God, that if those who harm this temple, there will be a judgment on them. But I also think it's an encouragement. You are the temple of God, where the world will encounter God through your life. The world is meant to encounter God through the temple, and we are the temple. It is so important that as the temple that we build as Jesus as the head, as the master carpenter, and to fulfill the assignment he's given us, big or small. Let us pray. I encourage you right now, if you don't know perhaps what the Lord has assigned for you personally, your role, I encourage you to just say a simple prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, what is my role? And for some of you, he might give more than just a specific role of you are to do this. He might say something like you are to plant. And as he says that to you, it's important to begin to dig deeper and say, Lord, what do you mean by that? Father, we ask that you would make clear to each and every one of us the assignment and role that you have given us. God, you are building something that will last for eternity, with eternity in mind. And because of that, Lord, I ask that we would be people that lives our lives accordingly. We pray for clean hands and a pure heart. We pray, Lord, that you would just begin to wash our minds, change our desires, transform our heart's desires, Lord, to align with yours. We pray for the grace to finish our lives and live our lives well, to do the things that you have called us to do. I break off right now in Jesus' name ungodly expectations that has been placed over us by ungodly people. Unsanctified expectations, I break your power right now in Jesus' name. We pray that we would have just a desire to not let you down, God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive the love of God, the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit as you go forth from this place. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you all for joining us. If you'd like prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Now, have a great weekend. Or great Sunday. Have a great Sunday.